The content of the following program is not intended to be a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, treatment, or cure. Always consult your physician or a health professional with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition.
One Life Radio appreciates the support from our sponsors. Make sure you check out these great companies. Sun Warrior, the pioneers of plant-based protein. Go to sunwarrior.com and use the code OLR for 20% off your order. Enviromedica, makers of Terraflora and new Immuniflora. Learn more at enviromedica.com. Castor and Pollux, extraordinary pet food that has set the new standard of purposeful pet food. Paleo Magazine is now all digital, so you can go to paleomagazine.com and subscribe. Also, the Wellbeing Journal, combining physical, mental, emotional, spiritual, and social aspects of health. VegWorld Magazine. Sign up and get a free online subscription at VegWorldMag.com. The International Society of Sports Nutrition, the only nonprofit academic society dedicated to sports nutrition and supplementation. Learn more at SportsNutritionSociety.org. And Thorne Research, redefining what it means to be well and pushing the limits of human potential. Go to the sponsor page at OneLifeRadio.com for links and listener discounts. Thank you for listening to One Life Radio.
Radio. This is Bernadette Wood Jr. broadcasting live from Dallas, Texas on iHeartMedia as well as KMET in Southern California on ABC News Talk. Happy Wednesday, everyone. How you doing, Junior?
I'm doing good. Same as always,
I know.
It's a beautiful day here in Dallas we're here on the radio. I'm happy. I'm good.
What's not to like? This is like my hour of going, almost like going to another world. It's a great honor to have a voice in America, especially right now, and to share such good information with so many incredible experts on, every aspect of health here on One Life Radio, including we've got Deborah Keston coming up at the half. She is an incredible master of public health and scientist, along with her husband. They wrote the book Whole Person Integrative Eating. We're going to be talking about nourishing our body, mind, and soul during this holiday season. You're going to be surprised what she has to say, and I think you're going to really like it. I think actually everyone will really love what she has to
say. Awesome. Can't
wait. She's incredibly intelligent, too. When she was on the show for the first time back, I don't know, about a month ago, it was incredible. She is a wealth of intellect. And of course, Tina Burnett, another one. Tina Burnett is my personal trainer, an incredible guru, actually nationally, but she lives here in Dallas. She has a bachelor's of kinesiology. She is also a certified strength and conditioning specialist, and she is certified in biomechanics. And she is just... She's been in the fitness industry for over 30 years, teaching cardiovascular classes at several of Dallas's top studios and health clubs, as well as instructing and developing resistance training programs for individuals and groups in the gym and in the home. She's also been named top female personal trainer in DFW by the Personal Trainers Hall of Fame. You can contact her at tbfitnesspro@gmail.com or on Instagram at tbfitnesspro. Always a pleasure. How are you doing today, Tina?
I'm doing good. Been a little busy this morning. Started at 7 a.m. training people, and I just came from training Jill Lane. So.
Oh, did you? Yeah.
Well,
I actually was looking through some stuff here in the studio, and I ran across a couple of old outlines from Jill. She was on the phone. She's been on the show, not on the phone. She's been on the show many, many times over the years, starting at the beginning with you and Kip Watson. And we have a long, rich history of friendship, which is something that I treasure. But it's good to have you on the air with us today. I'd missed my workout with you yesterday. And I have to say on the air, happy birthday to my daughter, Vincenza, who's actually listening and is part of the show behind the scenes on our social media. Today is her 24th birthday. I can't believe it's been 24 years since I had my first baby.
Happy birthday, Vinny. I got to see her. She did train with me yesterday, and I got to see her, and I gave her a little birthday something, and for her special birthday, 24th. But yeah, they grew up too fast. Yep.
Did you guys get a good workout in?
She did, yeah.
Good.
She had a great workout in, actually. We did. She's getting so strong. She's doing great.
Good. Yeah, that's great. Well, I worked out, as I said, before we did the show today, and I'm looking forward to doing some weight training after the show, getting two smaller workouts in today instead of one big one, because that's all I had time for this morning. But, you know, today we're talking with you about what's the best workouts for your 30s, 40s, 50s, and beyond. And we don't have 20s in there because just enjoy your youth. Right? Enjoy your youth.
You know, the key thing, one of the things that's important about this whole topic is, you know, the earlier you start, the better, because, you know, it should just be part of your lifestyle. And a lot of 20-year-olds, you know, work out, but a lot of them don't, you know, especially if they're in college and they're busy and stuff. Yeah. But it's like, it's by the time you get to your 50s and 60s, if you started working out when you were 20, you're going to be better in your 50s and 60s.
Absolutely. Well, I started when I was 22, and I started out with running is what I did, and triathlons. You remember how big they were back in the 80s, right?
Yeah.
They were huge.
I did them, but I didn't do them until the late 90s.
Yeah.
Or in 2000s.
Well, yeah. Well, I don't know. Maybe New York was a progressive, but maybe they weren't. Yeah. We used to do a lot of workouts. Me, myself and my friend Shirley Beeman, we would do these crazy workouts. The equivalent, they weren't like really. So I say triathlons, but they weren't really organized. We would just cycle, you know. Then we would go swimming, and then we would cycle back, and then we would run too. A little bit too much cardio back then. Cardio was much. I think much more the focus than weight training. Would you agree?
Oh, absolutely. You know, I started teaching aerobics my senior year in high school, and in 1985. And that's when it was huge, when they had, you know, all the aerobic studios were opening up, and it was the high impact, jumping around to music and pounding our bodies on the hardwood floor in the aerobics room. But that was the big rave was aerobics. And it's interesting because, you know, with the Cooper Institute of Aerobic Research was, you know, kind of big back then. It's still around. It's still popular. But, you know, it was all about aerobics back in the 80s. You're absolutely right.
Well, I was reading an article this morning. It was in the Epoch Times, and it's the impact of muscle loss. It's pretty scary when you think about what an important role that muscle mass plays in your overall fitness. It says here that muscle mass plays a huge role in our health, so much so, and it goes on to talk about sarcopenia, which I know you know all about that, but it's basically the loss of muscle strength. It says it's associated with a surprisingly wide range of health conditions, from heart disease and diabetes to frailty and dementia. And so, you know, I know you're huge on weight training, not all the time. And in fact, you've actually backed off from weight training a little bit more, haven't you? And started to incorporate yoga into your workout regime as you have gotten a little bit older.
A lot older. And yeah. And that's why I wanted to talk about this, have this topic today, because of my own experience lately, being that I'm in my early 50s, and I have, you know, over the years, done a lot of different work. I mean, I started lifting weights, I guess, my sophomore year, maybe junior year in college. But yeah, I mean, as you age, you know, and we're going to get into this a little more, but, you know, it's really important that you incorporate. You can't pound your body anymore in your 50s. I mean, you can, but it's going to cost you, which has cost me. You know, I'm having to have hip replacement in February, and, you know, I'm just finding that I've not, when it, earlier in my years, in my 40s is when I should really start incorporating more recovery and yoga and things to maintain a balance and mobility, especially in your hips. Hip mobility is so important, especially as you get older. But if you don't start in your 40s or maybe even your 30s, then by the time you're in your 50s, you're going to have some issues. And that's why I did start. I'm doing private yoga sessions with my friend David, and he's awesome. And he works a lot with joint mobility. And, you know, my hips are tight, so we're trying to work that out, get them all mobile. But it's just really important that you find a balance and that you're not just going hard every day. Because I used to go hard every day.
Me too. That's what I was saying. Like, you know, it wasn't organized triathlons or biathlons, but I mean, it was crazy. I mean, there were days when I would run 7 miles twice a day, and then maybe go for, you know, a 30-mile bike ride. It was like obsessive. And then we would go and we would eat a bunch of pizza and grilled Reubens, and it's like, What are we doing? You know, you do crazy stuff like that in your 20s.
But I did the same thing when I was in college. I'd go ride my bike for 3 or 4 hours. I'd teach an aerobics class and lift weights, and then the next day I'd run. And I mean, it was just crazy, but, you know, we could get away with that. And that's one thing I want to, you know, talk about is in your 20s, you can kind of get away with doing stuff like that. But when you get into your 30s is when you know, in 40s, you know, we women especially, we start losing muscle mass in our 30s.
Yeah.
And if you're just doing aerobics and a lot and too much of it, you'll actually start losing muscle mass faster.
Yeah.
And bone mass. And that's really important that, you know, even when you're in your 30s, it's important that you are, you know, if not in your 20s, start, you know, working on building muscle and getting stronger and creating some muscle mass and then maintaining that. But in your 30s, you can do kind of, you know, you're still going to recover faster than when you're in your 50s. But if you are training in your 20s and you move into your 30s, you know, lifting weights, you can do HIIT, you can do running, swimming, cycling, they're all good. But you got to do the strength training is so important, especially at least starting your 30s to slow down the sarcopenia, which is the muscle loss.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, Junior, I'm going to bring you into the mix. Would you like to share your workout history with us?
My workout history?
Your workout history.
Well, I mean, there was a time like when I was probably my later 20s, early 30s, where I did get really serious about fitness, and I dropped like, I think I dropped like 120 pounds.
What?
Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, I did. I did it within a year, just by working out and changing my eating habits. And once I stopped, though, I mean, I didn't put it all back on, but I have put some of it back on. So, but yeah, I mean, I could tell now though that I definitely probably need to do it again because my knees are starting to hurt, you know, and I definitely got to get that extra weight off. And I'm sure it would, you know, relieve all that, but.
Oh, absolutely. Even, you know, well, and things like even high blood pressure, you can get high blood pressure from just being 10 pounds overweight. And that's a fact. Especially as you get older, your body just doesn't have the resilience that it does like in your 20s or 30s. Fitness to me is just, it's amazing and it's free. You know, so
yeah,
so,
exactly.
So why wouldn't
you? If only more people would do it. You know, it's like you know, we're in such a small percentage of the population in America that, you know, I mean, if you really looked at the overall picture of what percentage of people actually consistently work out, meaning like 3 times a week at least, it's like less than 5% of the population.
Yeah.
And I've read that, and it may have changed by now, but I read that a few years ago. And that's just kind of, and then of course we're also, you know, the fattest country. We have more obesity than any other country from what the statistics show.
Well, yeah, and I'm reading here in this article, although sarcopenia is a natural part of aging, muscle loss is largely accelerated by inactivity. So, Junior, you got to get rolling.
I know. I got to start moving again.
You got to start moving again. Well, you know, it's difficult to find the time sometimes. I was just talking with a friend of mine right before I went live on the phone. And I said, well, you know, you got to find where there's a will, there's a way. Maybe you do it in the morning or maybe you do it at night. But you've got to somehow incorporate a little bit of exercise in your life, you know. And it's very difficult for her because she's got several children and they're young. And so I think, and for men, too, it's not just a woman thing. But I do think that men have an advantage over women in the sense that they seem to be able to carve out time more easily. Would you agree with that?
Me?
I
was going to say, I don't know. I mean, I have a little bit of trouble with it.
All right. Well, hey, we're all being transparent.
I think with women, you know, especially women with kids, it does make it tough, you know. But you know, it's like what you do, Bernadette. You don't. Your kids are older, but you got all those animals, which is more worse than having 2 or 3 kids, honestly. But I mean, you managed to find, like you said, you did a little bit before the show, and you're going to do a little bit later, and that's perfectly awesome. I mean, you don't need, and I've said this over and over and over on the air, is that you don't need an hour. You know, you could do 10 minutes. 15 minutes here and 15 minutes later, even if it's like just running up and down your stairs for, you know, 5 or 10 minutes. I mean, every little bit counts.
Yeah, I agree. I agree. Okay, so let's take a quick break and more coming up with Tina Burnett. We're going to be talking about the best workouts for your 30s, 40s, 50s, and beyond. Stay tuned, everyone. You're listening to One Life Radio.
Go, 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 go. it's your birthday. We gon' party like it's your birthday. We gon' sip Bacardi like it's your birthday. And you know we don't give up, cause that's your birthday. You'll find me in the club, bottle full of bub. Mama, I got what you need, if you need to fill the buzz. I'm into having sex, I ain't into making love. So come give me a hug, if you're into getting rough. You can find me in the club, bottle full of bub. Mama, I got what you need, if you need to fill the buzz. I'm into having sex, I ain't into making love. So come give me a hug, if you're into getting rough. When I pull up out front, you see the Benz on dub. When I roll 20 deep, it's always drama in the club. Now that I roll with Dre, everybody show me love. When you sell like them and them, you get plenty of groupie love. Look, homie, ain't nothing changed. Roll down, G's up. I see exhibit in the cutting, man. Roll them trees up. If you watch how I move, you mistake before I play up here. Been hit with a few shells, but now I don't walk with a limp. In the hood, in the lady saying 50, you hot. They like me, I want them to love me like they love pop. But holla in New York, for show, they tell you I'm local. When you're playing, to put the rap game in a choke. I'm fully focused, man. My money on my mind. Got a meal out the deal and I'm still in the grind. Now shorty says she feeling my style, she feeling my flow. A girl from what did they buy and they ready to go. Find me in the club, bottle full of bub. Mama, I got what you need, if you need to fill the buzz. I'm in the having sex, I ain't into making love. So come give me a hug, if you're into getting rough. You can find me in the club, bottle full of bub. Mama, I got what you need, if you need to fill the buzz. I'm in the having sex, I ain't into making love. So come give me a hug, if you're into getting rough.
Follow us on social media at One Life Radio.
Welcome back, everybody. You're listening to One Life Radio. This is Bernadette with Junior, and we are live from Dallas, Texas, on iHeartMedia, as well as KMET in Southern California on ABC News Talk. Tina Burnett is with us today, and if you're just now joining us, Tina Burnett has a long fitness history here in Dallas, Texas. She has a bachelor's of kinesiology. She is a certified strength and conditioning specialist. She is also certified in biomechanics and has been in the fitness industry for over 30 years, teaching cardiovascular classes at several of Dallas's top studios and health clubs, as well as instructing and developing resistance training programs for individuals and groups in the gym and in the home. She's also been named top female personal trainer in DFW by the Personal Trainers Hall of Fame. You could contact her at tbfitnesspro@gmail.com. That's tbfitnesspro@gmail.com or on Instagram at tbfitnesspro. Today, we're talking about the best workouts for your 30s, 40s, 50s, and beyond. So let's start with the 30s, Tina. Everyone out there listening who's in their 30s, what do they need to do?
Well, I kind of mentioned this a little bit in the first segment, but the 30s is when, you know, is when you can kind of do a lot more than when you're in the 40s and 50s. So it's always the best time to start lifting weights, at least if you didn't already start in your 20s. But weight training is so important, like we talked about, to put off the sarcopenia, which is the muscle loss that happens as you age, which does start to happen in your 30s. But you can also, you know, just do it. It's always good to do a mix of everything. Cross train, do HIIT, lift, do what strength training, do you can run, swim, cycle. Because in your 30s, you have a pretty fast recovery time. So you can kind of push yourself a little bit. Because when you get into your 40s is when you notice that it takes longer for your body to recover. So kind of get it out of your system in your 30s. And when you get in your 40s, mm-hmm. you really have to start focusing on, you know, not pushing yourself as hard and giving your body those recovery times, you know, more days off where you do, like what I'm doing now, is some yoga, you know, get massages, do, you know, go on just nice walk, leisurely walks in between your harder, your tougher workouts, and don't go so hard every day. Mm-hmm. Because you got to have that recovery time, and nutrition is important too. You know, we've talked about this a lot, that nutrition has a huge impact on your recovery, mm-hmm. and protein, making sure you're getting enough protein, whether it's, you know, meats or plant based, because you need those amino acids that you get in the protein for muscles to recover and rebuild and get stronger and stay strong.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, in this article, it's saying that getting at least 25 to 40 grams of protein, it says each meal is especially important, regardless, as you said, whether you're, you know, vegan, paleo, keto, whatever you are, that it can make a big difference in long-term health, along with the regular exercise to, get you more muscular so you can.
Right.
I told the story on the air a couple of weeks ago, but about, I don't know, 6-7 weeks ago, I was walking across my living room floor and I hit a puddle of pee that I didn't see. And I went up into the air and down. I almost landed on my rump. But my arms caught me and my arms are pretty muscular. So, you know, it prevented me from potentially like doing some damage to like my hips or something, you know. And That was a monumental moment for me as far as like, you know what, exercise. I already knew it anyway, but it's so incredibly good for you and can prevent you from really getting injured.
Yeah, absolutely. And the thing is, a lot of people that are runners, because I used to be a runner and you used to run too. Right? Yep. I used to do marathons and lots of, I love to compete in running actually. Mm-hmm. And you know, if that's all you do and you're not doing the strength training, like I think I mentioned this in the first segment, that, you know, you can actually speed up muscle loss because especially if you're somebody that runs a lot, you know, 4 or 5 days a week, you can actually kind of burn off your muscle. You can lose, and especially if you're trying to diet, if you're dieting and running and not doing anything to maintain muscle mass, you're going to lose bone loss. You have bone loss. You're going to have muscle loss even faster than if you weren't running, because it's going to happen anyway, especially like I just mentioned in the 40s, you know, women, especially men, not as much because they have higher testosterone levels. So they don't tend to lose muscle mass as quickly as women can because they have the testosterone, more natural testosterone. But you've got to balance it out. You got to do the strength training. And in the 40s, it's focusing on recovery and mobility. And that's a huge thing that a lot of people don't think about. And, you know, I didn't think about that very much in my 30s and 40s either, because I was just such a, you've said the same thing, but I was such a hardcore, just go hard.
Yeah.
And I wasn't balancing out my workouts. And now in my 50s, I'm paying for it because my hips are tight. I mean, I've lost so much of my flexibility and my range of motion in my upper body, like my shoulders and upper back and hips. And so, you know, I'm just telling everybody now, if you're in your 40s, this is the time to start making sure you're getting in that mobility work. And if you don't really understand what that means, it's basically, you know, specifically in your hips and your shoulders, because those are ball and socket joints. And so, you know, you can move you can lift your leg and make a big circle with it, where like your knee is just a more stable joint. It just bends and extends. Mm-hmm, so it's doing things that, and this is what David, my friend David does. His business is called Black Dragon Yoga. And it's not just standing doing yoga poses. We do all these different positions and stretches and like dynamic stretching and stuff like that to help open up my hips and shoulders and get more movement. Because as you get older, you get stiff.
Yeah.
You know?
Yep. Yep.
And you don't want to be one of these people that's, you know, walking around hobbling and hunched over when you get to be in your 50s and 60s, because it will happen if you're not doing the things you need to do to balance out your training.
Well, that's why yoga is so good for you, especially as you get older. And, you know, every week is different for me. But when I'm not doing yoga, a lot of times I'm just down on the floor cleaning up pee or whatever, because I've got so many old dogs. But getting down on the floor and crawling around, that mobility, you know, is very important. And being able to be spry. You remember, okay, so last week I just started doing box jumps again. I haven't done them in a while. I want to keep my thighs really strong. I want to be able to jump at least a couple feet in the air, even as I get older. I think it's so important. Would you agree, Tina? Of course you would, right?
Yeah. Yes. you know, I'm a big proponent of plyometric and power training, which is explosive training. But at the same time, now that we're kind of moving from 40s into 50s on my topic, you know, when you get into your 50s, you know, it's something that you want to do, but you really kind of have to scale it back a little bit and maybe once a week do some kind of explosive exercises, because it's a different type of fat, of muscle fiber. It's more fast twitch muscle fiber, which is for quick bursts of exploding, like a jump squat or a box jump, like you just said, or a burpee, you know.
A burpee.
But in your 50s, you know, you got to follow a steady workout schedule in your 50s and be consistent. It's so important that you stay consistent with it. It's not working out a couple times a week and then not working out for 2 weeks. You really got to focus on making sure you're trying to get at least 3 days a week of lifting weights and some cardio. But it, you know, actually, when you get older, and actually Cooper Clinic, which is like I mentioned before, the aerobic research center, they came out years ago. Even though they were so big on aerobics for so long, they came out with this article that talked about, like, as you get in your 50s, 60s, 70s, 80s, like, what should be the highest percentage of, like, what exercise should be the most of what you do? And the most important for, it was like 80 to 90% of what you do as far as a workout when you're after 60 years old should be weight training and resistance training.
I knew you were going to say that.
And you don't see 70 and 80 year olds lifting weights, but they should be. And it doesn't have to be heavy weights, but that's, you know, because of the bone loss and the muscle loss. I mean, mostly you see older people, you know, riding a recumbent bike or maybe walking on a treadmill, but it really should be predominantly weight training.
Well,
the older
you get,
the more it should be.
Well, yeah, and if you're older, you're probably, you know, we're in that time where it was endurance, and not so much strength, you know. You know, so about back the running, you know, when did running start? Like in the 70s? Was that when Nike first started? I think they're, you know, just do it. I don't know.
I want to say 70s, 80s is kind of when it got to be such a big thing. And I'm not saying running's bad, but too much of it is not a good thing, you know? And I mean, I don't run anymore. I used to run a lot, but I don't run anymore. I like to do, you know, more sprint type work, like at the stadium, you know, go up and do the stadium steps, and that doesn't bother my hips like the running does. So
can we do that on Friday? Tina and I train on Tuesdays and Fridays, but that would be fun. We haven't done that in a while. Going to the stadium and training, doing that.
They just kind of opened it back up once the schools opened back up, and so I've got some clients that train once a week there, and I'm loving it because we go in the morning and it's so cool and pretty and nice, and it's fun to get outside, do some, and you can still do. We're not just running up and down the stairs the whole time. You know, I bring my bands, we do some strength training, and then we do some little sprints up the steps. So
I love to exercise. And I know you do too. I just got an email from a listener who said, you guys always encourage me to want to exercise more. And that's our whole goal. So we just did our job because it really is important for your overall, not just your physical health, it's for your mental and emotional health as well. Exercise is as I said at the beginning of the show, it's free. It's there for you anytime. You just got to do it, right?
That's right.
All right.
And one more thing I want to add about, and as you get older, and especially 60 plus, is balance is so important because, you know, you hear about older people, you know, falling and breaking their hip and stuff like that. And kind of part of as we get older, we can lose our balance. And so it's really important that you do exercises that focus on improving your balance as you get,
always.
But especially as you age,
as you get older.
Really important.
Yeah. Absolutely. All right. Well, great information. Thank you, Tina Burnett. You can reach her at tbfitnesspro@gmail.com or on Instagram at tbfitnesspro. Everyone, we will be right back. We've got Deborah Keston coming up. You're listening to One Life Radio.
Thank you. A singer in a smoky room, the smell of wine and cheap perfume. For a smile they can share the night. It goes on and on.
Listening to One Life Radio. Make sure you check out our podcast and get to know the show at oneliferadio.com.
Welcome back to One Life Radio, everyone. This is Bernadette with Junior, broadcasting live from Dallas, Texas on iHeartMedia, as well as KMET in Southern California on ABC News Talk. Today, we have Deborah Keston back with us. She is an international nutrition researcher, award-winning author, and medical health writer with a specialty in preventing and reversing obesity and heart disease. Deborah Keston has published more than 400 nutrition and health articles. Her first book, Feeding the Body, Nourishing the Soul, received a first place gold award in the spirituality category from the Independent Publisher Book Awards. Her latest book, Whole Person Integrative Eating, has been honored with the number one gold best book award in the health category by the Book Excellence Awards, and she is a VIP contributor at Arianna Huffington's Thrive Global. And Deborah is married to behavioral scientist and co-author of Whole Person Integrative Eating, Larry Sherwitz, a PhD. Their website is integrativeeating.com. That's integrativeeating.com. Always an honor and a pleasure. Deborah Keston, welcome back to One Life Radio.
A mutual pleasure. Wonderful to be here with you.
Well, thank you for saying that. And we have a wonderful topic today, nourishing our body, mind, and soul this holiday season. So let's start with this. What is whole person integrative eating, and why do you call it a dietary lifestyle?
Well, my mission is to help the many people who struggle with their weight. And my book, Whole Person Integrative Eating, is a science-backed, simple yet powerful paradigm shift that gives you step-by-step skills that you need to nourish your whole self. That's why it's whole person integrative eating, meaning nourish body, mind, and soul, literally, when you eat. And we found out with our research with more than 5,200 people that when you eat this way, you eat less and up your odds of losing weight and keeping it off. And I call it a dietary lifestyle because it is not a diet. And what I mean by dietary lifestyle is whole person integrative eating is based on the original meaning of the word diet, which 2,500 years ago, during the time of Hippocrates, often called the father of medicine, meant way of life. And over the centuries, it traveled throughout Europe and turned into what's familiar to all of us today, which is diet as a regimented, restricted way of eating. So whole person integrative eating is based on a distillation of ancient food wisdom, and it's meant as a dietary lifestyle, a way of eating to follow throughout your life. It's a lifetime practice like yoga. And it's something you get better and better at, and our research has shown that it leads to less overeating and more weight loss.
Well, your book is fantastic. It really is. We're talking about the book Whole Person Integrative Eating. We've got Deborah Keston with us. So, you know, the holiday season is here. How can we turn holiday meals with family and friends into a healthful, satisfying, wonderful experience, as it should be?
As it should be, and food and eating is, from my perspective, one of life's greatest pleasures. And I
also describe it as a social, ceremonial, sensual pleasure, not something we do today, which is, I call it eating by number, count calories and carbs mm-hmm. and figure fat grams. And the way to turn it holiday dining, especially during this horrific time, I'm not giving you three little quick happy tips. The way to turn holiday eating with friends and family, or if you're by yourself, are the elements of whole person integrative eating. And that means choosing from the table, if you are going to have the gift of being with others, to choose fresh whole food, to eat with positive emotions, to eat with gratitude, to eat mindfully and actually bring your attention into your mouth and actually taste the food and savor it and enjoy it. Also to bring loving regard to food mm-hmm. and appreciate that it has life-giving powers that can help us heal not only our weight, but help us heal many other health conditions with which many of us struggle. And also to eat, I call it social nutrition, to eat with others in a pleasant atmosphere,
Yeah,
not while you're filling up the gas tank and munching on some 500-calorie muffin you just got at 7-Eleven.
Well, I was
so
just, it's
that's
funny that
really the secret. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, well, it was funny that you went there because that's where I was going next. In your book, you talk about psychological nutrition, spiritual nutrition, and social nutrition. And it is so important that we understand that holidays are a great time to hit reset about what's really important with the way we eat and how we eat and eating with gratitude and eating with people that we love and all these things that bring food, not just food, but love and gratitude to the table. And it should be that way each time.
And what we found is that the more people eat the way human beings ate, meaning with other people, in a pleasant atmosphere, fresh whole food, and with positive emotions, the more they lost weight and replaced what I call the overeating styles, today's new normal overeating styles, with the ingredients of whole person integrative eating.
Mm-hmm. How damaging is it to eat alone? Is there any scientific research?
Yes, more and more. First of all, maybe 10 years ago, I'm making that number up, but perhaps about 10 years ago, Harvard University started a program and doing research on eating family meals, eating together. And what they found is teenagers and young children, when they eat with their families and parents or whomever your family is, that you not only eat less, but you eat more healthfully. Mm-hmm. And there's less likelihood of becoming addicted and having addiction problems.
Wow.
That's one of life's greatest pleasures. And here's the bottom line. I researched ancient food wisdom from world religions, cultural traditions such as yogic nutrition, and Eastern healing systems. For example, India's Ayurvedic medicine and China's Chinese medicine, Tibetan medicine, because nutritional science is only about 100 years old as we know it today.
Wow.
Before that, people turned to world religions and Eastern healing system for guidelines about what to eat. And the bottom line of our research is the more we replace our new normal overeating styles with the ancient food wisdom, the less we overeat and the more likely we are to lose weight and keep it off.
Wow, that's very interesting. It is. And it's so great to have you on the air with us. We're going to go to a quick break, everyone, and more coming up with Deborah Keston. She is the author of Whole Person Integrative Eating, along with her husband, Larry Sherwitz, PhD. We will be right back. You're listening to One Life Radio.
It might seem crazy about to say, sunshine.
us on Facebook, hit like, and follow us at One Life Radio.
Everyone, you're listening to One Life Radio. This is Bernadette with Junior, and we are live from Dallas, Texas, here on iHeartMedia as well as KMET in Southern California on ABC News Talk. We are speaking with Deborah Keston. She is an international nutrition researcher, award-winning author, and medical health writer with a specialty in preventing and reversing obesity and heart disease. You can go to her website at integrativeeating.com. Today, we're talking about nourishing our body, mind, and soul this holiday season. So, you know, the holiday season can with family should be the most beautiful time with our families. And so what ways can we celebrate the holidays with family, Deborah, even if we can't be in the same room? And also this...
That's a very big question.
It is. And how important is the act of preparing a meal for others during a holiday?
Well, in the States, what is most typical, again, overeating styles that I've been talking about but haven't explained in detail, the idea of preparing a meal for others is, in the States, is very opposite of what it often means to many people for thousands of years, to people throughout South America, to many people in Europe. And what I mean by that is so many of us are so stressed, and so many of us are so concerned about time, and we're juggling 15 million details of our life, and which is even more exacerbated now with the nightmare COVID situation going on. So I say this compassionately. One of the greatest pleasures in life is preparing a meal and eating with other people. Mm-hmm. And I'm bringing this contrast up because in the States there's so often this mentality, it's what's normal now, oh, I'm so sorry to bother you. Oh, I'm so sorry, I hope I didn't take too much of your time. So sorry I didn't give you too much work in making this food. This is so kind of you. Look at the opposite of that, the heart-glowing pleasure of, this person, this child, this parent, this family member I love is coming over. Let me make some of their favorite foods that they love and enjoy it with them.
Wow.
Such a different attitude.
Yeah.
So I'm suggesting preparing a meal with pleasure and anticipating the enjoyment of it for yourself and or with others. It's one of life's greatest pleasures. And what I know is eating this way and relating to food this way with pleasure and delight and regard affects the way you metabolize food and in turn your weight and in turn your health and healing.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. What a beautiful message. I have to say, what a beautiful message to put out there, especially right now. My goodness, I just love what you just said so much. So,
thank you.
So, no, I'm serious. It was absolutely beautiful. And so, we've only got about 2.5 minutes. So, what are ways that, or what are some tips for enjoying the holiday foods without overeating?
I have two answers for you. One, the what to eat guideline of whole person integrative eating is to, again, ancient food wisdom verified by modern nutritional science, is to eat fresh food, whole food instead of processed and refined, and eat inversely, meaning mostly plant-based foods with lesser amounts of animal foods, of dairy, fish, meat, poultry. And I say inversely because the typical American eats mostly animal foods with small or no amounts of plant-based foods, of fruits, veggies, whole grains, beans and peas, nuts and seeds. Answer number two is this. In behavioral medicine, there's a concept called relaxed restraint. And that means if your general, usually sort of way of eating is fresh whole foods, which is what's going to help heal you and to eat less, according to our research, relaxed restraint means you want to have that brownie, you want to have that pumpkin pie, you want to have that ice cream and Häagen-Dazs, relaxed restraint. Have it, enjoy it.
Oh, wow. What a great message. And perfect timing because the music just started. I wish we would have gotten started sooner. You know, sometimes the hour just flies by. But thank you so much, Deborah, for being with us today. We really appreciate it. And you have a beautiful, wonderful holiday from all of us here at One Life Radio.
Same back to you and the whole world.
All right.
Bye
I love
for now.
That. You're so sweet. Oh, my gosh. Everyone, I encourage you. This book is fabulous. Whole person integrative eating. Everyone out there, have a wonderful day. You get one body, you get one mind, and you get one life.